May God add his blessing to this reading, our hearing, and our understanding of this, his holy word. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, at this moment, we ask that you would help us to give your full attention to your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. So, the question of the week, how do you define your friendship with God? Now, let me say, I am considering this part one of a two-part sermon. And you're going to have to wait until July 16th when Mr. Kuntz is going to be filling in for me as I will be on vacation in Chicago. Tim is going to be speaking more on what the benefits are of a friendship with God and with Jesus and what that entails. Today, I want us to consider what is a good definition of friendship with God and Jesus. What would that definition be? Now, when I was growing up and I was a small lad, I would hear the stories that were said, the scripture that was read in service, and also the things we learned in Sunday school. And one of those was I heard stories about how God created the universe. No, he said, let there be light. And boom! There was the universe. And I said, wow, God must be a great and powerful wizard. He's probably even better than Merlin. I hadn't been exposed to Lord of the Rings, or else I would say Gandalf, but. And then I heard the other stories in Sunday school about how Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, about the great flood and Noah's Ark, where God flooded the world, destroyed almost everything, and then started all over again with the occupants of Noah's Ark. I read and was told the story about how Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. And when he came back down, the Israelites had constructed a golden calf. And about the ramifications of that and the punishment. And I also heard stories about the Babylonian exile. And because of this, my definition of God changed. God wasn't a wizard like Merlin. God was a god like Zeus, sitting up on his throne in heaven, looking grumpy, staring at the world, lightning bolt in his hand. Just waiting for somebody to be naughty, and then zap goes the lightning bolt. As I grew, the stories started to change a little bit, and it was more about how the Israelites were promised a Messiah that would save them. And I thought, well, you know, maybe God isn't so bad as I thought. And then I learned that you have to accept Jesus as your Savior, or else things would not turn out well. So now the vision in my head was God and Jesus. They're up in heaven. They're looking grumpy. They're sitting on their thrones, staring at the world, lightning bolt in each of their hands, just waiting for someone to be naughty. And then zap! goes that lightning bolt. Now, as I got a little bit older and I got a little bit more mature, and I was able to reason better and think about things more deeply, I learned that God wanted to have a friendship with me. What would a friendship with a grumpy, angry God with a lightning bolt in his hand, what would that look like? And I thought maybe it's kind of like that school bully that we all had to deal with in school. Hey, I want a friendship with you, but only if you do what I say. You're going to give me your milk money and your lunch money. And if mommy, you know, she packs you that sack lunch, well, I get first pick of whatever I want. You can have the rest, the stuff that I don't want. And if you don't do this, there's going to be consequences if you catch my drift. That's not a very good definition of friendship with God now, is it? It's very adversarial. Certainly a relationship, a friendship with God and Jesus is not going to be like this. Well, for a moment, let's think about what are the things that we value in our friendships. Well, for me, and I think for all of us, one of the values that we have is with friends is we want our friends to understand what is going on in our lives. Maybe not totally, but understands what we're talking about, what we're going through, the feelings that we have. You know, someone who can relate to me. Someone that likes me warts and all. Someone who will listen. Actively listen. Just sit there and listen to me. Not say anything. And then when I'm done, perhaps give a kind word or some direction. Someone who I can yell at to let all of my frustrations out on. Somebody that understands that I need to yell and I need to get stuff off of my chest, that knows that, yes, I'm venting steam. I appear to be venting at them, but it is not, I'm not mad at them. Someone that cares about me and that I care about. And for me personally, I value someone who, when I call them a name, that they call me an even worse name back to my face. I have a good friend. I would call him my best friend right now, named Tom. And Tom and I were both adjuncts at the same time at New River Community College. That's how we met. He was kind of my mentor, and we would talk about the classes, then we'd talk about the school, then we'd talk about other things. We have similar personalities. We have similar warped sense of humor. And we really and truly enjoy each other's company. And yes, he is one that if one of us calls the other a name, we respond back with an even worse name to them. Now, you might recall that a number of years ago that a man came into the NRCC mall site with a shotgun and he started shooting Anybody remember that? The classroom that Tom was teaching in that night was straight in front of the entrance doors. And this gunman started discharging inside the entrance. Tom heard it. Tom got his students to the back of the room. There was only one door in and out. He got his students to the back of the classroom, and then in a little bit, there was a shotgun blast through the door. It's scary. It is traumatizing. Luckily for Tom and his class, the gunman didn't try to get into the classroom. Well, I found out about it because a mutual student sent me a message saying, "Have you heard from Tom?" And nobody could get a hold of him. And finally, I got a hold of him. And I said, "Look, buddy, I'm going to come. I'm going to pick you up. I want to take you to Bull and Bones in Blacksburg. And we're going to get a meal, and we're going to get a beer, and we're going to talk or do whatever you need." Tom was an absolute wreck, and probably rightly so. I mean, I know, you know, the classroom, there's only one door. That must have sounded like a huge clap of thunder. Tom shared with me a little bit later that my taking him to Bull and Bones helped him to start dealing with things over the next couple of days. It affected him deeply. And we had many, many conversations with each other about the depression and the anxiety, which we both suffer from, though for different reasons. Recently, he posted on Facebook about he was struggling that day with what had happened, but he was grateful for all the friends that had helped him, including the friend that has walked with him since that day. And he said he felt like he was almost back to normal. Now, by joint understanding, Tom has never identified me as this friend that walked with him, but I knew. And knowing that he felt down, I sent him a typical of our friendship Facebook private message, which says, "I was going to comment on your latest post, but thought better about it. I'd better send it to you. I'm glad you're back to being the idiot that I know and love." To which Tom almost immediately sent back, "LOL, thanks, I needed that." So what does all of my rambling up thus far, what does that have to do with defining a friendship with God? God doesn't want a friendship that comes from that image of a grumpy, angry God ready to zap us whenever we stray. He doesn't want a relationship where he is up here and we are down here. He doesn't want a friendship where our interactions are overly formal. He doesn't want us praying, "Oh, dear Lord, God in heaven, creator of all things, you are great, you are wonderful, your majesty goes forever." In other words, blind platitudes. And he doesn't necessarily enjoy all of those nifty songs. One of the best ones I ever heard goes, "I come before thy throne of grace and throw myself upon my face. I am but a worm, so step on me, God, and watch me squirm." I think the definition of what a friendship with God and Jesus is not unlike my friendship with Tom. God wants a friendship where we can be totally at ease with Him. He wants it so that Jesus is welcome to come and sit beside us and to listen to what we have to say. He wants us to be free to calmly talk with Him and also to yell and scream our frustrations to Him. Let me ask you a question. Anybody ever picked a fight with God? Have any of you ever picked a fight with God? Okay? I'm good at that. When I used to commute, and I would just yell and scream at God. God, I'm doing everything that you tell me to. Why in the bleepity bleepity bleep is this happening to me? Now, don't lie. I know you've all had a conversation with God like that, where you are just venting at Him to get stuff off of your chest. If He created the universe, which He did, then He has to be big enough to handle us getting stuff off of our chest and doing so in the best way that we know how. Even if it means using some choice words when they help us to vent, but only to people who understand. There's power in words. And there are some, I think, very good words when you are frustrated that gets that frustration out. God doesn't care. All God wants is for you to talk to Him. When I vent, when I let out all that anger and frustration, it calms me down. I start gaining perspective on matters, and I can begin to figure out how to handle that. I get the frustration out. I get it all out, and then I have nothing else, and I'm silent, and God can talk to me. God understands what we are going through because He has been in our shoes, and He has felt all of the emotions that we felt, that we feel. I can't quote a scripture that says that, but I know that Jesus was in human form, and I believe that He felt every emotion that we are capable of. God loves us warts and all. And to a certain extent, when things have improved in our life, I do believe that He wants to be able to say to us, I'm glad you're back to being the idiot that I know and love. Our definition of friendship with God should not include the grumpy, vengeful, lightning bolt-wielding God, nor should it be a definition of friendship where God is up here, we are down here, and where we have to pray a certain way, sing certain songs, do certain things in order for Him to love us. A friendship with God should be defined by acceptance, by love, by caring, by enjoyment, and by understanding. It should, I think, in a way, feel like when You're gathered on a porch or on a patio with friends and relatives, sipping our favorite beverages, whatever that might be, being open and being honest with each other and laughing at all of the silliness of this world. And that sounds pretty good to me. Amen.